Teach me thy way, O Lord. You know, when I think about, you know, when we run that race, like it says there in that latter verse of that song, and thank you, ladies, for that, you know, we will get that crown that we won. It's referring to the crown of righteousness. We have to ask ourselves, do we have the breastplate of righteousness on today? Are we wearing that armor? Because what the Lord wants to do more than anything else, and I can sense it today, is to steal our joy. Who gave it away anyway? We gave it away, right? No one took it from us. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And, you know, and our due might, we get our strength through His Spirit. And I've entitled this message, called it, Supplying Our Needs, or God Supplying Our Needs. Look, Paul's wrapping up this epistle. And the theme of this epistle is the joy of the Lord. He repeats it over and over and over again. And, you know, sometimes music can just set our mood throughout the day. So we want some music that's got some joy and is very thankful for the songs that we have here at church, because they're very deep. They grab your soul and they move you, and the Holy Spirit moves you along. I'm very thankful for the ladies who spend hours and a lot of time behind the scenes there. So, and we looked at last week, we were there on verse 9. And, you know, Paul's saying here, basically, and I'll back up to verse 8, he says, Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, that's a lot, isn't it? Okay? And going on, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, is there any virtue, is there anything praiseworthy? Meditate on these things, which we do today, which we are carrying out this week. The things which you learned and received in me and heard and saw in me do, and the God of peace will be with you. And so we pray that in these troubled days that we live in, that we can have the peace of God. And Paul goes on to say, and he wants to thank them for their generosity. You know, all of us like to be generous as God has taken care of us. But he says, to this church, and only this church only took care of his needs when it was needed. He says here in verse 10, because I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. So he's thanking for the time for Epaphroditus, who was able to deliver the letter to this church. And Epaphroditus, remember, his name was called the gambler. And he was a giving fella, and, you know, even when he was sick, when he had problems, he'd still be there. He'd be right up there and taking care of what he could. He almost died to the point of death. And so it's very wonderful when we go beyond and above what we're called to do. God always blesses. And he says, Paul says here, and now, at last your care of me has flourished again. It has the idea of a plant opening up. What scientists call this is stonema. And stonemata, which is, it's interesting when birds, we had, by the way, some birds chirping earlier this week. Do you realize it was 51 degrees earlier this week? Really? It was 51 degrees. It was warm. Went to the store. People are talking about what they're going to do for this summer. You're like, really? And actually, when the birds come out, and one lady said this during Wednesday night Bible study, did you hear the birds this morning? I said, yeah. They were out for maybe 5 minutes making all kinds of commotion. These same birds called with leaves, there's pores underneath the leaves that open and give out oxygen, and they take in carbon monoxide, okay? And that's how we get our cycle of oxygen through plants and trees and so on and so forth. But apparently the birds help open these pores up in the plants. And it's called stomata, excuse me, three syllables. So that's interesting. So when you hear the birds singing, don't try to shut them up. That's the idea that Paul gets here. He's saying, you know, we all are encompassed in this life. Somebody said the circle of life, but don't take it the wrong way. But it's how God works in his ways to get things going. And it's like in his church, the way to get things going. And we give and we receive and so on and so forth. So everything in life, it's interesting. And also they said that, and I was reading in this article that about plants and growth, it's interesting. They said if you put on classical music like this one person did, this study by a cornfield, the corn grew up to 15 feet high because they left the classical music on. And the plants, things can rejoice in what there is. The birds rejoice in the morning. Paul is saying, I rejoice. It's not because of necessarily the giving. And we'll look at that in a minute. It's because we are rejoiceable. We are able to encourage one another. And so he says, I'm very thankful for your care for me has flourished again. He wasn't expecting it. It just happened. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. You would have liked to have taken care of things. You know, how many of us here would have liked to have taken care of one another, but didn't have the opportunity? And so Paul's saying, look, sometimes you want to be able to help, but you can't. You know, things come up. Like some people would have loved to have been in church today. Because of the weather, they won't travel, period. And others that are sick, there are a lot of people that are sick. It says that in verse 11, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned for whatsoever state I am to be content. So Paul learned to be content in everything and what he did. I remember working with the churches down the Mississippi Delta. And I remember there were a lot of African-American churches. And I remember this one, Reverend Obie. He used to walk in the dark for Martin Luther King marches. And, you know, one day we were in church and there was this song. And I love this song. It was put out by Edwin Hawkins, singers in 1969. And came to a close idea of Philip Doddrick's song in 1755, Oh Happy Day, Oh Happy Day. And this, Edward Hawkins put it into music in 1969, came from the 1854 camp meeting. And I remember the African-American one lady telling me, says, Pastor, you have to remember something. Back in the day, back when my great-great-grandparents told me, we didn't have nothing. And put it in those words there. She says, all we had was our voices. And all we had was our hands. And all we had was our bodies. Because we were too poor, as they call it, too po, to provide. The song would go like this. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed, when he washed my sins away. And the song goes on. He taught me how to walk and fight and pray and fight and pray. And the song goes on to live rejoicing every day. Oh, happy day. It was a beautiful song because the song encourage them back in the deep south to be rejoicing every day and to be fighting every day. And they would go through this song, and if you YouTube it, you can listen to it. It's very inspirational. But I heard it in these African American songs when they would do it in our 3.5 hour long service. And afterwards we would eat after that. My point is they would start clapping afterwards, after they went through a couple verses. It was a beautiful, beautiful song, and nobody was raising their hands and doing all this and that, getting out of order. Everything was done in decently in order, but it was an old hymn. And some of these old hymns would be pickups from these very old hymns back in the 1700s, like with Philip Dudrick, "Oh Happy Day." But my voice is not into it, and I'm not going to sing that song. So. But it's encouraging. It's encouraging to get some melodies and rhythms as we go along in life's day. It brightens your day. It's like the sun comes out. It's just like, wow, so what about the clouds? And it's cold outside, damp, and I'm aching all over. Who cares? I'm having a good time with the Lord. And that's my point. This epistle is about our joy. Our joy. So Paul's saying, look, I'm learning to be in every way content. How did he do it? Because he was writing to this church, you're my joy, my strength. Paul had the Holy Spirit with him. You realize we look at the Holy Spirit as paraclete, the one that calls beside us. Well, it was back in the Grecian Roman days that soldiers always used to go by too, kids. And you'd had to have somebody to have your back. They used to call it the paraclete. And the soldiers would go by two in pairs. That's why you go out witnessing or whatever way God made husband and wife by two to help each other, to be there for one another. But you know, for those who are single today, you have the paraclete, the one that's called beside you. He was a soldier that would have each other's back. We need to have each other's back because, you know, I could sense the devil just doing everything he can. And his mission is to what? To destroy us, take our joy away. You know, I'm waiting for another 50-degree day. You know, I'm looking for it. Changes people's attitudes and their minds about light. Some of that photosynthesis, some of that light coming through just helps the plant. One guy said, you know, they had just completely put new asphalt down. And he says, lo and behold, because, you know, our parking lot needs to be sealed, new lines on it and all that. But he says this one plant, one shoot came up because of the heat, because of the light. And he said, we just did the whole parking lot, just put asphalt on. And this one little green plant comes up. That's the way God draws us. Through life's hardness, and asphalt's kind of smelly anyway. I never did like the smell of asphalt. But it comes right up, and, you know, nothing stops it. And this one fellow went over, and he just picked it up, pulled it up by the roots, you know. But that's what happens when God plants a seed in our lives. He can start sprouting up new things. Look for new things this week. You know, God wants to bless us. God wants to supply our needs. So, moving on here, Paul's saying, look, I know how to be content. Nobody can take that away. The only way we can take that away is by giving it away. And we don't want to give up on the Lord. Say, Lord, I need your help. I need your strength. I need you, Lord. I need you. God will answer that prayer. If we're serious about it, he'll be serious with us. So, Paul's saying, look, I know whatever state I am, I've learned to be content. And I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In every way, in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, and both to abound and to suffering need. And then it says here in verse 13, I can do all things in Christ which strengthen me. You know, you've all heard of the story of the mother eagle who has her eaglets in the nest high above the cliff. Remember when we lived in Alaska? I remember there were like cliff areas on the edge of the cliff. You'd have a lot of these eagle nests there. And how the little birds were able to get their strength to fly, I saw it happen. And you had to respect Mother Nature. You had to respect the birds out there, especially when they were doing this, because they get really mean to people. But she would come, she'd take one of her eaglets, push it out of the nest. When that bird had all its pin feathers and all it was ready to fly, it would drop down out of the nest, She'd come over, swoop it up, carry it up further up higher, and drop it again. You think, why would mom do that to the eaglets? Because she was teaching the eaglet to fly, to strengthen. And let me encourage you today. Every trial is supposed to strengthen us. You know, I'm pretty hard-headed sometimes, and I'm thinking to myself, you know what, Lord, I'm going through this trial. I don't like it. I wish it would go away. God's saying, no, listen. I want to strengthen you. It's not to hurt you. So these baby eaglets come, hear me now, and they're coming, and they need to be rescued. I like what's going on here. And God understands some of us are going through tremendous trials. And you know, my heart goes out to you. But I want to encourage you by the graces of God. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31 says this, "Hast thou not known? Hast not thou heard that the everlasting God, the Lord of creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, and is no searching of his understanding?" That means he's all powerful, all knowing. He wants to help you today. He understands what you're going through. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to tell you right now that we need to wait upon the Lord. You have done everything today. Some of you have done everything possibly you can do. And you're like, Lord, I don't know what else is there to do. Good. Wait on him. You may have to wait till tomorrow, next couple of weeks. You may even know now what your answer to your prayer is. But God wants you to wait on him. You know, some of us have been called to suffer. Others of us have been called to do all kinds of things. But God knows. God wants us to wait upon him. And listen to this. He says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up upon with wings as eagles." Talking about the little eaglets. "And they shall fly, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." It's so easy sometimes to memorize scripture that it doesn't mean anything to you. That's when you need to turn the page and rethink and pray about it and say, Lord, I'm going to wait upon you. And you know what? You said you would renew my strength. You'd lift me up. And our prayer is today, there are people who have needs that God knows that he can lift you up. And there are people that are praying. Let me tell you something. Church might be small, but we are powerful in prayer. We are a praying church, and we will keep on praying. Okay. So the song says, "He taught me how to walk and how to fight and pray. Fight and pray. Oh, happy day. And live rejoicing every day. Fight and pray." You know, watch and pray. But God just wants us to fight back too, and we need each other in prayer. So he says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthen me." Verse 14, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia," he's saying 10 years ago. So Paul's writing from jail, and he's saying here in the conclusion of his letter, he wants to encourage everybody here. If anybody who wanted to be discouraged, it must have been Paul, I would think. But he took a bad situation and he turned it around for good. We'll look at that in a minute. So he's saying 10 years ago, remember that Macedonia call that I was called. I wanted to go to Asia. But you know what? There was that one person who said in Acts 16, "Come, we need help. We need help." And you know, if God calls you to help somebody, what better blessing than to help somebody in need? There's nothing better than that. "No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even at Thessalonica, you sent aid once again for my necessities." 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9 says, "Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with the labor of travail night and day, that we might not be charged to any of you, not because we have not power to make ourselves an example unto you to follow me. What he was saying here, we worked it all out. We didn't have anything. We were down to nothing. I'm reminded of that situation with that widow and her son and Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17. That story is so wonderful. You know how she went and she met Elijah and she says, look, you can stay upstairs in the upper room in my house. And I have one meal left and I have some oil and a little bit of water. Remember, this is a time when there was a great drought in the land and this poor lady had nothing. And Elijah says, look, God will answer your prayer. When you go back to the flour box, there'll be more flour there. When you go back to the oil pot, there'll be more oil to make your cakes or whatever. And there'll be enough water for you too, because there was drought at that time. Well, God kept on providing for this widow and her little boy. Then one day, the little boy died. And she says, what is God doing now? Can you imagine that? A son, grandson. Why are all these trials? I've had enough. I've had enough. And God's saying, no, wait upon me. Those trials are going to strengthen you. Remember, I love you. Remember, there's no temptation that is common to man that God will not give you an escape. In other words, he'll give you an outlet. And what happened was Isaiah prayed over the little boy three times. I think it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's just my interpretation. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit healed this little boy. Picked up the little boy, brought him downstairs as a gift to Mama. Mama took the little boy, and she was just so happy. Elijah leaves the house. He goes up to the mountain. There is a earthquake. God is going to speak to him. But remember, Elijah went to one of the prophets, and Elijah says, you know, I want to talk to the Lord. So he goes up to the mountain, backing up a little bit, and there was an earthquake. And then there was a fire. Then there was a great wind. And he was waiting for God to answer him. Nothing came. But then there was a still, quiet voice. The Spirit of God had said, Elijah, I am with you. Why are you hiding in the cave? He says, well, you know, I've got a bunch of bad people coming after me. God's saying, I told you to do this. Now do it. And you know what it is, ladies and gents? It's called faith. We got to keep on exercising our faith to encourage one another. The joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, so Elijah got up and he was running from Ahab, Jezebel. You know the story, 1 Kings 17. If I'm wrong, then you can tell me after church that I was wrong. So the story goes is that God, you can never outgive God. God always takes care. How many stories we've had here? We've met each other's blessings. We've taken care of one another. Or God unexpectedly came through for somebody here. And it starts off with prayer and then searching your heart and let God take care of the rest. So he goes on to say here about with Thessalonica. He remembered that one time when a gift was sent there when they needed it. Okay, got it. Not, he goes, verse 17, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. This is fascinating. He's looking at it and he's saying the fruit, the Holy Spirit that works in you, for those people who gave to me, God is going to bless you in a special way. He's saying this. He's saying also that, He's getting to what our Lord had to say. Matthew chapter 6, verses 20 and 21 says, but lay up yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, or where thieves do not break through or steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That is so important because Paul's saying, look to the Philippian believers. Some of them couldn't give. But God's saying for those who prayed, who couldn't even give, that were praying for those who could give, you know what? You have a special blessing to your account. Each one of us has an account. It's not talking about a bank account. You can look at it that way, I guess, but it's looking at a spiritual account. God is saying, look, your treasure is in heaven. What you're doing here on earth will be added unto you. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us the trust that we trespass not against one another. God is saying, look, it's all a blessing for you. Just believe. Have faith and believe. So we all have that account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet smelling aroma. And that has the idea of a sacrificial aroma from the temple, that we are all that a sweet smelling sacrifice unto the Lord. Now, there's nothing better. You know, one of the good things about a cold day, let me get your attention here, is hot food. Isn't something more better when you have a good cook? Or the good cook wants to take a break, right? And she says, I want to go out to eat. So you go to a place that's got good food, you know? And what a blessing that is to get around good food, good people. And now I'm going to throw this one in. Make sure you come to the covered dish because there's all going to be all kinds of good food there. God wants us to bless one another. He wants us to share and let it come around. And he says, Epaphroditus, who was the gambler, the guy who took a gamble on his life, even though he was sick, he wasn't doing well. And you know what? Some of you are here, and many have come here, that by the grace of God, you've been sick. You know, you're walking miracles, not a walking dead person. A miracle, a live miracle that God has been using you and blessing you in spite of you being sick, and you're still being faithful. I want to encourage you, okay? We need to be that sweet-smelling aroma and accept and sacrifice well-pleasing to God. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. God wants us to supply our need. Proverbs 3, 9, and 10 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and presses shall burst out with new wine. So God wants to bless us. He promises that. You have to ask yourself this one question. Can God lie? Is there any untruth about him? No, he can't. Isn't that great? There are so many lies today. So many people get up there and have no shame and telling you what they believe. And, you know, it's tragedy. But we have those who are Christians, who are lights in the world against this darkness that penetrate. Remember, darkness doesn't penetrate the light. The light penetrates the darkness. And God wants us to be that light to penetrate that darkness. And so God will supply all our need according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Isn't that something that God has much for us? Do you think we're blessed already? God can superabound that over and over if we only believe. Now the God of our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, not done quite there yet. Says here, for the greeting and blessing, and this is the end of the letter. He's saying, by the way, you know, you have these blessings in Christ. Use them. Have the joy. Remember, he wrote writing to them because they were very special to him. He says, greet every saint in Christ Jesus, the brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are in Caesar's household. We see that there were just more than a couple of people. You're looking at Caesar's family had courtiers, they had princesses, they had judges, they had cooks. There were even some people, and Josephus used to write about, had some people in the royal family, according to Caesar. Remember, Nero was a bad person. And, you know, he even had some people in his own household that were saved, who came to know Christ. But they were secret Christians. You had judges, you had cooks, you had food tasters, musicians, custodians, you had soldiers, accountants, builders, stablemen, on and on. It meant more than just Caesar's household. A lot of people read that in English and they think, oh, it's just that house that where he was. You can go there today in Rome and they have a special place they called where Paul stayed at. But it is important to know there were many people touched by Paul. And my encouragement is here today too. You are a living and vibrant testimony. You are touching many people today. You are. There's no such thing as God's word ever going void. Don't let anything discourage you. My pastor told me years ago, don't let the crowds discourage you. Don't look at the numbers. He told me this as a baby pastor. He said, look at the hearts. Then you got it. You got it. Got it? I said, yes, sir, I got it. I got it. And I've had that in my heart for years. It says here, for the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Or truly, the grace. We need God's grace all the time. We need Him when we're tired. We need Him when we're hungry. We need Him when we're thirsty. We need Him when we're fearful. We need Him when we're in trouble. We need Him when we're tempted. We need Him when we're being persecuted by other people for our faith. We need Him when we're weak. We need Him when we're in sorrow, and whatsoever state we were in, we should give thanks to Jesus Christ. I want this to be a happy day. I want this to be a day, remember, when when all the chips are down, you just played out your hand, as the world would say. Just remember, you got your salvation. Jesus has washed away your sins. And think about this, that he teaches you every day how to walk the Christian walk and to fight and pray. Fight. Fight the devil with all your heart, soul, and mind. Remember, the battle is the Lord's. And remember, there's nothing that he can do without God allowing him to do it. And remember, we have our rejoicing every day. Say, I'm too tired to rejoice, Pastor. I'm tired. I'm whooped. I'm tired. But remember, it's a supernatural joy through the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. We have the joy. Next week, we're going to be looking at the apostates. We're going to go through the book of Jude. And I'm saying the Lord laid that on my heart. I was thinking about Colossians. Colossians looks at the preeminence of Christ. We'll get to that after 3 weeks in the book of Jude. But I was thinking about, with all the issues that we're having in this world today, that's trying to deviate us from the truth. I thought that would be a good 3 week study we could do that, because the devil knows that his time is short and he knows he can't touch a Christian if they have the joy, right? You're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You're his. You belong to him.